modernism has entered the church and has grown within it. Modernism, which is the synthesis of all heresy, which Pope St. Pius X denounced and combated early this century. Modernism whose roots go back 200 years. At the beginning of this century, the saintly Pope wrote prophetically of modernism, and he spoke of the great movement of apostasy being organized in every country for the establishment of a one-world church, which shall have neither dogmas nor hierarchy. And he said, "We know only too well the dark workshops in which are elaborated these mischievous doctrines." Pope St. Pius X. Now let's listen to the president of the Roman Theological Forum, Monsignor John McCarthy, writing in 1972, quote, "From outside the church, from outside, a plan of subversion has been in effect for over 50 years, implemented by the most powerful subversive organization in the history of mankind. Within the church, within the church, the number of openly declared Marxist revolutionaries is growing." Monsignor McCarthy from Rome. So there are modernists, Marxists, and Grand Orient Freemasons at work to bring down the dogmatic Catholic Church. And what is their common base? Their common base is naturalism, as against supernaturalism. Their base is the naturalism which relies on evolution as against creation. The theory of evolution is essential to them all, whether modernist, Marxist, or Mason. And all these three, to all of them, one man seems to be kindred. One man in the Catholic Church is linked to modernist, Marxist, and Mason. And that man is the late Father Teilhard de Chardin, who set out to change the old religion with a new theology based on evolution. In an absolutely real sense, the destruction of the Church from within and from without is based on the theory of evolution. Evolution is essential to modernism, and to Marxism, and to Masonry. Without evolution, none of them can survive. In my case against evolution, I concluded with a quotation, "Every attack on the Christian faith made today has as its basis the doctrine of evolution." And this is true. Yet evolution has become basic teaching in our schools, even though evolution can be easily proved scientifically wrong. Well, Teilhard de Chardin's influence in the last 15 years has been greater than all the heresies of the past. And what did Teilhard do? He espoused the theory of evolution. Then he used evolution to attack the doctrine of Adam and original sin. When you attack original sin, you attack a doctrine central to Christianity. Christianity is a religion of redemption from original sin, or else it's nothing. If Lucifer could select but one doctrine to attack, one doctrine whereby to bring down the structure of Christianity, he would undoubtedly select the doctrine of Adam and original sin. And the weapon for such attack would be evolution, the idea that beasts changed into men. The trouble is this. Once you let evolution in, it's difficult to keep polygenism out. Evolution science, if you like to call it science, insists that when animal evolution had advanced to a certain high degree, the next step would have been mutations of whole groups across the dividing line, whole groups or populations of hairy first men and hairy first women in many places. Groups of them, instead of one first man Adam and one first woman Eve, just happening to appear in one place simultaneously. Many Adams, that's polygenism, and it plays havoc with the doctrine of original sin. Polygenism which Pope Pius XII condemned. Polygenism which Cardinal Ottaviani called the most serious error in the Church today. And polygenism is the basis of Teilhard de Chardin's new theology, which started by attacking original sin and went on to empty every Catholic dogma of Catholic meaning. Because when original sin falls, one by one all the other dogmas begin to fall. And to that, in short, we must trace much of the trouble in the Church and in the world outside the Church. This is really the point of departure from the faith. Pope St. Pius X pinpointed the point of departure from the faith as denial of original sin. When original sin goes out, baptism loses meaning. So does redemption, because redemption is redemption from original sin. And what of Christ the Redeemer, redeeming us from what? Then without original sin, what can we make of the Immaculate Conception? And the virgin birth of Christ is now challenged through evolution. Evolution demands naturalism. Supernaturalism is out. So under Teilhard de Chardin's evolution theology, all the dogmas are going out. Sin, heaven, hell, miracles, spirits, even God becomes some sort of evolving God. There is now a Teilhardian church under the Catholic roof, trying to elbow out the old church. And its influence has permeated many modern catechetics, bringing heartache to many traditional Catholic parents. In 1922, Teilhard wrote his first attack on original sin on the grounds of evolution. His essay went to the Vatican by mistake, and Teilhard was very nearly excommunicated. He was forbidden to write, but he went on writing, and his works were passed from hand to hand among the Jesuits. His influence grew, and in 1948, the Jesuit University, the Louvain in Belgium, began teaching Polygenism openly. And soon, the Jesuit University in Nijmegen, Holland, did the same. In 1950, Pope Pius XII was so worried, he wrote the encyclical Humani Generis, which condemned all the ideas that Teilhard was promoting. Humani Generis still stands. In 1962, the Holy Office under Pope John issued the famous monitum, the warning. Warning Catholics that de Chardin's writings are full of grave errors against Catholic doctrine, and urging those in authority to protect Catholic minds, especially young minds, against the works of Father Teilhard de Chardin and his followers. Now, the monitum is still in force. There have been at least a dozen edicts of the Church against de Chardin's works, condemning his teachings, ordering his books out of Catholic libraries and bookshops, warning Catholics to keep away from this man. Teilhard died in 1955. A group of people who were extreme evolutionists and some were atheistic had his works published without church approval. From that time, by some strange force, Teilhard's works have exploded through the Church. Now, isn't that strange? That books and ideas officially condemned by the popes have flooded the Church under the imprimatur of atheist Julian Huxley. But Polygenism is the point of departure from the faith, and Polygenism is the point of entry into communism. The same evolutionism was used by Jesuit Teilhard de Chardin and communist Karl Marx. The theory of Teilhard de Chardin and the theory of Karl Marx both begin with the same starting point, a vague primal matter, swarming particles of primal matter. The particles joined with other particles and became atoms. The atoms met other atoms and grew into molecules. Then de Chardin and Marx both say that these molecules organize themselves into more complex arrangements until eventually some of the arrangements got so darn complex that they burst into life. The lifeless molecules had arranged themselves so cleverly they came to life. Next, said Teilhard de Chardin, and also said Karl Marx, next, these lucky bits of matter, now alive, carried on complexifying themselves until eventually they broke another barrier. They became conscious. They became animal by accident. Then, said Tyard and said Carl, these accidental animals continued the merry game, getting more and more complex, but something especially lucky began to happen to a few ape-like, man-like animals. The grey matter inside their heads grew into a special arrangement, and the ape-like, man-like heads began to think. Matter had begun to think. And the luck of it was that this had happened in an ape-like, man-like head rather than in a horse's head or a porpoise's head. It was by pure luck that neither horse nor porpoise, but man, became king of the beasts. Now, whether Karl Marx tells it for society or whether de Chardin tells it for the church, there's no real difference in their stories of man. And they both go on further to the final conclusion, the deification of man. Karl Marx insisted, and Ty de Chardin also insisted, that there is no distinction between matter and spirit. Therefore, there is no spirit world. Karl Marx says, God is the soul of the universe. God evolves with the universe and with humanity. God, says Marx, is only human thought evolving. Man is God, says Marx. Now note what Ty de Chardin says. Tyard looked into the future, and he said that our future evolution will be evolution of the brain, evolution of the mind, evolution of thinking consciousness, until one fine day, all mankind will become unified into one collective consciousness, all mankind will fuse into one universal supermind. And when that happens, says Tyard, we will have arrived at the Omega point. And the Omega point is God, says Tyard. Tyard is saying that mankind, fully evolved, is somehow God. Man is God. Tyard de Chardin, like Karl Marx, has deified man. And this is what is penetrating into the Catholic Church, even though it's been condemned by the Church. And this Tyardism is getting into catechetics, so that it's being absorbed by children who wouldn't even know whether Tyre de Chardin is a French perfume or a species of bedbug. It's small wonder that our youngsters are graduating not as fortified Catholics, but as humanist Christians. And Tyre de Chardin's science theology is neither theology nor science. One of our best theologians, Cardinal Jouannet, described de Chardin's work as disastrous. It contradicts Christianity, he said. And as regards the science, England's major man of medicine, Nobel Prize winner Sir Peter Medawar, deplored Tyard's so-called science. Sir Peter called it a bag of tricks for gullible people, for people educated beyond their capacity to analyze. The admirers of Tyard de Chardin proclaim that Tyard built a bridge between science and religion. Now, if it's a bridge between science and religion, we should expect to find sound science at one end and sound religion at the other end. Tyard's bridge has science fantasy at one end and condemned theology at the other end. It's a bridge from nothing to nowhere. But for some strange reason, Tyardism has swept through the church like a tide. And now, Tyardism is being hailed as the most helpful bridge between Christianity and Marxism. Is this madness? Perhaps not. Not when we understand the interrelationship of the three forces which are producing the modern apostasy, Marxism, Masonry, and Modernism. All three are based on evolutionism, and all three are grateful to Tyard de Chardin. I have no doubt that modern mass apostasy is linked straight to evolution. Darwin and Marx were the apostles of evolution in the world. Tyard de Chardin was its apostle in the Catholic Church. And through evolutionism, the gap between Christian and Marxist is narrowing, to the detriment of Christianity and to the delight of Marxist and Mason. Teilhard's helpful bridge between Christian and Marxist is making some sinister sense.